This is Ted Sullivan from Star Trek Discovery.
This is Bo-Yan Kim, writer of Star Trek Discovery.
Hey, this is Erica Lippold of Star Trek Discovery, and you're listening to KVOO Portland.
Good morning, Rose City. Welcome to another exciting episode of A Radio Geekly. I am just Jess, and I am joined here by our collective members, Godiva,
hey.
Jenna, David, hey. And our special guest, Sarah Gildy. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you guys to be talking Trek.
Woo!
Woohoo! It's been a long time coming, folks. We have a lot to talk about, and I'm just excited that we can dedicate an entire hour to Star Trek.
I'm pretty stoked about it.
Yeah. One of the longest running science fiction series of all time.
Behind, like, Doctor Who, I think. Yeah. The only one, or...
Probably. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get calls.
Yeah.
If we ask, they'll call in. Yeah.
For some clarification purposes. Yes. But to start us off, I would like to know from each of you, what is your favorite Star Trek series and why? But you only have 30 seconds to give your opinion.
Oh no.
Godiva, I'm looking at you. Ready, go.
All right, I started with the original series and I watched that nonstop for probably about an 8-year chunk, and then I just recently got into Deep Space Nine, and I gotta say, Sisko's taken over for Kirk. I think Sisko's my captain now. Yeah. It only took 6 months and Sisko is now my captain over Kirk.
There you go.
Yep.
Jenna.
Okay, my original thing was Next Generation, but I have recently gotten sucked into Voyager, and same thing, Janeway might be taking over my Picard love.
Wow.
But Earl Grey hot, you can't argue with it.
Discovering new loves this year.
Yeah.
I did hear somebody mention that their storyboard of Voyager that they appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much character development, but the actual just storyline of the series in general.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
good. David?
I thought Deep Space Nine was mine. I mean, that is mine, I don't think of it. But I thought it was the best because it just had more, it had depth, it had more real life kind of carryovers, and it had a great story arc, especially those last two seasons where, you know, it was just high drama, and it had great comic stuff in it that weren't, it just felt like forced or anything. It was just, it was all integrated, and you could see like how it relates to, you know, society themes and things like that. I thought that was one of the amazing aspects of it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Deep Space Nine is also my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, it has these great, you know, long story arcs, but it also has great character arcs. Like, you see Nog go from being, you know, a greedy capitalistic Ferengi to being a Starfleet officer and his whole journey in between. So I loved seeing the characters develop over 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. TNG, I can't get past Picard. He's just,
which is
Sir,
fitting,
Sir Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
How I just can't. He just makes my heart feel all warm and tingly.
It's the 30-year anniversary of the Next Generation.
It is. That was pretty awesome. Just to see, like, oh my gosh, everybody's so young, and looks now so old.
Some of them are still looking pretty good.
True. Uh-huh. It's what happens when you have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to find out from all of you, now that there is a new series in place, what are your thoughts on it? Because it's technically been, 12 years since the end of Enterprise?
Oh, it's going to be my new favorite show. I've decided this.
Yes!
It hasn't even started, but I've decided this is going to be my new favorite Trek because I want it to be so good.
Yeah.
The preview. Oh, the teaser trailer looks so good.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I am really excited about it. I haven't been watching any trailers or anything like that. I want to be totally blind going in, not know anything. But, part of what fueled the Star Trek theme for this show is I went to the Star Trek convention in Las Vegas, and I actually got to talk to the writers of Discovery.
What do you know? What do you know?
I can't say anything or they will sue the pants right off of me.
Oh.
I'm going to say that. But talking to them, it was really exciting because, like, they're such huge fans of the show. Like, the writers who were, like, creating this new universe of Star Trek were like longtime fans before they even got inducted mm-hmm. into like the career of Star Trek. So it's super cool that like they want to follow up on like treating it like a soapbox, you know, for issues, but in space. And one thing for like the personal aspect of the writers is their favorite series is Deep Space Nine. So at least Bo Young Kim, I got that much from her.
Whoa.
But I know, so that got me pretty excited. Their favorite series is my favorite series.
Yeah, they had a great panel with some of the actors, and it's great to see how much the Klingons were into learning their language. I met one of the Klingons, Mary Chifo, I think is how you pronounce her name, and she went to Juilliard, and she's working on getting fluent in Klingon because she takes it so seriously.
Wow.
And she's so nice in person. I'm kind of curious to see how she's going to be a Klingon.
Yeah.
But she's great. Wilson Cruz was on the panel, and he just destroyed everyone talking about how much it means to him to be on Star Trek.
Wow.
It was fantastic.
Everybody's such a fan. Yeah.
This is why it's going to be the best Trek ever.
And if there are any Trekkies out there who are on Twitter, too, follow as many of the cast as you can on Twitter, because they are so cute. Oh, my God. They're, like, interacting with like the actors from like The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, and like Robert Picardo or like Terry Farrell will like message one of them on Twitter, and then one of the actors, what was the Klingon woman's name?
Mary.
Yeah, Terry messaged Mary on Twitter like publicly, and she was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you're talking to me." Terry's like, "I can't wait to be one of your biggest fans," and she's like, "I'm freaking out right now. Stop it."
Oh my gosh!
But they're all so cute, and they're all really dedicated. I'm excited about the new show. So, yeah.
Jenna.
Huh. Yeah. I have feelings. I just have to say real quick.
Say it.
I'm very curious to see how all of you like the Deep Space Nine. Because to me, that show was quintessentially not Star Trek because they're not on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I appreciate the Sisko and I do like the story arcs that they create for the characters, they're much more in depth than a lot of the other shows. I'm just saying, y'all. This new one's going to be on a ship again.
Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be a prequel to the original series.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be pre-Kirk, pre-all of that stuff. So really, really getting into being on Starfleet. Like, this is legit. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, and it looks good. Like, okay, yeah. I know you haven't seen the trailer yet, so I won't try to spoil too much, but it looks good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it looks like they really took the time. I'm really glad that they didn't release it when they mm-hmm. initially, their first release date, you know, and they decided to take more time. And it just looks amazing. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm a big fan of Michelle Yeoh. And so it's just like, yeah, we're going to have another, like, woman captain.
Right.
And yeah, it's just going to be so good.
They had a room full of costumes and props from the show at the convention. You could go through and look at everything. And the level of detail is just absolutely incredible. They had Starfleet uniforms. And they had Klingon costumes and some of the new Klingon weapons and things. It was just incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited to see. Like, what are they going to do? Because, yeah, the few things I have seen, it's much more detailed. And, you know, it's just like when you see the Klingon weaponry, it's like...
It's baroque. It's gorgeous.
Yes, that's what I mean. It sort of feels like they've kind of gone to the next level, like with Harry Potter, like wands, you know? Like, mm-hmm. let's take the time to make these things beautiful because they know fans are going to interact with it and they're going to make replicas and they care. And so I feel like this show is really taking the time to acknowledge that there is a fandom that really, you know, has a history and doesn't just want something new, that they want something that is something familiar but improved upon. Mm-hmm. Or at least this is my hope because I'm building it up so much.
But no, talking to them and knowing that they are fans too of the old series, I'm really excited to see like any references to other series too. Like, I'm just a cheese ball for any sort of like references from other series too. Mm-hmm. Like anything from the original series that they might like start leading into, because I know the whole House of Sarek thing mm-hmm. that was spoiled for me already. I don't know what to spoil for like the listeners too, so like just watch the trailer. We're gonna spoil a lot of stuff for you, sorry guys.
David, have you seen any of the trailers for Discovery?
I'm gonna be the one who actually waits for it to come out
and okay.
build up, and then I'll probably do one of those binge weekends just to digest it all.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the trailers. I just read a little bit of you know, just some stuff that go the background of it and how it was delayed because they wanted to make sure
perfect.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Yay. And they have a release date September.
September 24th.
The 24th.
It's less than 3 weeks.
Yeah. Because it already is September. Oh my gosh.
Hey, okay. So they're going to show the first episode on the air, and they're immediately going to release the second episode on CBS All Access.
Oh.
See, now I have to sign up for CBS All Access.
Oh, or we all just need to be in like one collective room together.
Ooh.
Well, slumber party.
Oh my gosh.
Is it going to be one of those things? I know it's like a launch platform, but is that basically the only way you're going to be able to watch it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, in this country. In other countries, it's going to be on Netflix, but here you have to get CBS All Access.
Oh,
Netflix.
I was already with my Netflix account and everything.
Yeah. That was one of the issues I had back when Voyager came out. They launched UPN, and this is going to be their flight ship, whatever, show. And where I lived, we didn't get UPN, I never saw that series. Yeah.
Oh no.
And I think.
But now you can probably stream it.
Oh yeah, you can get it anywhere. You can get anything anywhere.
Anywhere. The magic of the internet.
It's almost too easy. Yeah.
Except Discovery. I have a feeling it's going to be something that's very tightly controlled. Although I'm sure somebody will.
Yeah.
Put it on the internet pretty quick, but I would totally pay for it. I'm totally going to. And every time like it gets released, there'll be that person who's like, "Oh my god, it finally got released!" And 1 minute later,
downloading it and stuff.
I'm on the forums already having discussions like, "Okay, we're gonna be live tweeting me watching it."
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when you pay for a series too, instead of illegally downloading it, I feel like you're especially showing your support for it. You know, because when you illegally download it, it's just for you. But if you really want to support like an idea that you love in a show or a movie, you're gonna have to pay for it, or else Hollywood's not gonna know to make more of that thing. Yeah. Especially with sci-fi, which is so expensive to make.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, if you're a real Trekkie, you're gonna be paying for it. So yeah. Just putting that out there on the airwaves.
Maybe that's why they had the convention in Vegas, because they were like, I need to go gamble for a little bit. I need to build up my bank here.
Executive producer has to get his money back.
Okay, can I say one thing that I hope doesn't make it onto Discovery is that every Star Trek series eventually plays with time as a way to solve problems. Like, no, we got displaced in time. And so I'm really hoping that they are able to not play with that too much, because sometimes it feels like a shortcut. It's a total cop-out. It's a total cop-out sometimes. And I felt that way with Voyager at the end. It made me upset. I was just like,
Enterprise,
too. Yeah, Enterprise is all
it will
the
do
time.
It. I say by fourth season at least, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, should we put bets on it?
It always happens.
$5.
And sadly, it is like those are the most popular episodes.
Voyage Home.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I'm gonna go with season 3. I think it's gonna come in pretty quick.
Well, let's have some wishful thinking
maybe it'll be awesome.
Maybe they do it well. If it's not a cop out like that Mark Twain episode or City on the Edge of Forever,
or if they can go back into the Tribble episode and see the people from Deep Space Nine in the original
It's going to be like
Inception. You should be a writer.
Yes, Inception.
I'll submit that idea and see what they all say, because that's one of my favorite Deep Space Nine episodes is watching them when they go do that. And when they question about the Klingons, and they're like, what?
That's
a Klingon? And that's what one thing I'm really curious about, like how they treat that again, because that would be fun.
They look so different.
Yeah.
For Discovery.
Yeah, and I wonder, how are they going to talk about that? Is it just going to be there, but they don't acknowledge that, like, Klingons look really different just, like, a short time later?
The other thing I want to bring up about the new series is the whole, I don't know if people are aware of the Kelvin timeline and how it's going to be different or what that even means.
No. Do you want to describe it?
Yeah, elaborate for the listeners.
Okay. Kelvin timeline. The movies are the Kelvin timeline. That's what J.J. Abrams created. Kelvin is the USS Kelvin that exploded, that James T. Kirk's father was on, and whatever, made an alternate universe. So the movies are an alternate universe.
The new movies, yeah.
Yep. The three movies that have recently come out since 2009.
Okay.
Star Trek Discovery is going to be the original timeline still. So everything will still be with whatever that canon is with the William Shatner and all that stuff. And then they said they did it that way so they don't have the new series have to play with the movies, you know, have to stay on the same page.
Gotcha.
They can do their own things.
That's interesting.
I'm just wondering if they're going to, is there going to be any acknowledgement? It'd be pretty hard, though, if it's a prequel to the original series. I mean,
Gotta tread lightly.
Going with the time travel thing, I don't see. I mean, I can see where at some point they may have like they enter into an alternate universe and actually interact with the movie people. I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love the parallel universe thing, right? Where you have like them going into like the dark parallel universe, and you have like evil Kira and all that stuff. Right?
Yeah, don't get me started on evil Kira.
And so maybe it'll do that. It'll instead of doing the time thing, it'll do the parallel universe, and we'll get to see evil Michelle Yeoh.
With the goatee.
Yeah. Oh! Yeah, why does everybody have a goatee? And they all suddenly wear black leather all the time. It always makes it more interesting, you know. You have to play with that. But I hope they can kind of avoid that for the first couple seasons and really make it about going back to that kind of idea that you had in the original series and that, like, Next Generation tried to play with, where it is about discovering new worlds and about, like, this idea of traveling and not so much of, like, okay, well, let's find our parallel selves and on our parallel ship.
Right.
Like we did in Voyager and Deep Space Nine and Star Trek.
Well, yeah. That's the thing with the space, or the, not the space box, the soapbox, again, of basically they're taking these issues that are relevant of our time right now and discussing them, but doing it on a front of, like, but it's in space. So, like, it's kind of like a, what's the word, like a parallel of issues that are going on today.
Mm-hmm. It's something that I really want to see. Though, that I've always appreciated about it, it's its optimism. It's always been, you know,
it's
like the
Mad
sun
Max,
is always,
you know,
out. Like. And that's where I'm kind of concerned. Like, one of the things that a lot of stuff of, you know, with TV today is like, we need that dark, gritty real. People need to actually die and all that stuff. And like, I don't really like that, you know, at some point, especially with the Star Trek stuff.
Well, there's just so much of it.
Yeah.
Of the gritty, like, we're all going to die.
It gets depressing. I don't know if, I mean, I was just looking at the Battlestar Galactica, the showrunner, or one of the main writers of Deep Space Nine, he went on to create Battlestar Galactica, and that show got pretty dark and gritty quickly. You know, it was a great series, but it got depressing.
Yeah.
And I want my stuff to always, like, at the end of the episode, we're excited about the future.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I want a future where the oceans are stuffed with humpback whales because, you know, we just ruined everything. Can't go swimming, there's too many whales. It's a mess.
Those darn whales.
I love that you can't go swimming, too many whales.
Like
everywhere
whales.
I kick, there's just whale.
Yeah.
Get them out of here.
We replicated the whales and we were able to save them.
Oh, gosh.
Blame Star Trek.
Right, that's what we're using replicators for in the future. Great.
There you go. Too many whales.
Too many whales.
Too many penguins and dolphins.
Oh, man. Sarah, did you have something you wanted
to
add?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Star Trek adjacent, I'm also really looking forward to The Orville, which starts Sunday, September 10th on Fox, which I'm really excited because Seth MacFarlane is a huge Star Trek fan.
Oh, really?
Like, he wants to actually do Star Trek, so I think this is the next best thing.
Wow.
But I'm really looking forward. It's got a bunch of Star Trek actors on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
What station is that going to be on?
Fox.
Okay, gotta get Fox.
Fox
All Access.
Is it like Galaxy Quest? Because that show was a lot of fun, or that movie.
So I'm hearing a rumor that the promos are making it look like Galaxy Quest, but that the show's actually going to be more serious.
Mm.
So I'm curious to see how it turns out.
I would love a serious Galaxy Quest. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm already a fan. This is also my new favorite show.
So we need to all get cable access for everything.
We're going
to
have so many sleepovers.
This is a good year for sci-fi. I just got to say, I'm pretty stoked. I don't know if there's any other Rick and Morty fans out there.
Oh, yeah.
But that came out, like, new season. We've been waiting how long? Like, 2 years for that. And then Orville, and then the new Star Trek. And I'm just sitting over here, happy as can be. I just got to say.
So much cosplay.
Yeah. I know.
We're going to be talking about a lot of that, too, as we... oh, sorry, David. Go ahead.
Like she's saying, and all the sleeper shows people don't even know about, like The Expanse, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Stranger Things.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
I need to stock up on my Eggos for that.
Yeah.
Because if we're binge watching, we need to have snacks.
Walk on into that store and grab them and take them out.
Leave your money on the counter, folks. Yep. Money on the counter.
Probably should do that, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm just so excited. But we need to start talking about Star Trek Las Vegas.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. So both Sarah and Godiva got to go. And first impressions. Was it your first convention over there?
This is my second one. I went last year for 50th anniversary, and that was going to be like my one time going because I thought people that go every year are crazy, and I had such a good time. Now I'm one of those people.
Uh-huh. I was so overwhelmed. It was insane.
Wow. But you got some good content.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to hear who you got to talk to and stuff.
Well, I attempted to interview like the actors and stuff like that, but honestly, as soon as I like got within 5 feet of them, it was like my mind went back to when I was 5 years old watching them on TV, and my brain just like went boo. I'm we'll talk about that after the interview. I can just keep going on and talking about
yeah.
it. It was insane. I was overwhelmed is what I was.
But in a good way, though.
Oh, yeah, of course. Next year, maybe I'll have a better head on my shoulders.
There you go.
It was my first ever convention, so.
Awesome. So let's take a break and listen to the segment I like to call Godiva Goes to Vegas.
This is Godiva Lee, and this year I was lucky enough to make it down to Las Vegas's official Star Trek convention, which hosts annually celebrity photo ops, cosplay contests, discussion panels covering a wide variety of topics, as well as a large number of vendors and group organizers. I had the joy of interviewing Dan Devey and Randy Frank of Gaze in Space, and we started off discussing their involvement with Star Trek Las Vegas.
This is the first year that we're official. Last year was the first year that we did Gaze in Space, but we weren't official, so we didn't have a table. Very few people knew about us. It was all kind of word of mouth, social media, and we weren't really expecting all that many people to show up. We thought that the fact that there were finally gay people in Star Trek was something really worth celebrating, and felt that it was kind of being overlooked. You know, it happened and there wasn't a lot of excitement around it. And I said, well, there needs to be, so let's plan a party. And we did, and to our surprise, a lot of people came. A lot of people had fun. Nana Visitor came. She was our first special guest. And she was so cute. She said to me, she said, Dan, I could probably only come for like 20 minutes or so. And I said, that's no problem. Just having you there at all means so much to us. She stayed for 3.5 hours. And then afterwards, she said, whenever you do this again, I'm there. Since that time, this Friday will be our 7th event. She's been to 5 of them.
Right?
Oh, and 8.
7th
that's
and 8.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's been to 5. She's only missed one.
And it's the brunch and the dinner as well.
Exactly.
Can you tell me what happens at the events exactly?
No.
Oh, no.
What happens at the event stays at the event.
It is Vegas.
It is Vegas. That's true. It's our events are very much like a mix and mingle type of event. People are really used to the convention style of doing things where you buy tickets and wait online to get an autograph or a photo, or you know, and if you're lucky you get to go to their tables and talk for a couple of minutes, but it doesn't really offer you the opportunity to get to know them and for them to get to know you. And the overall message of Gaze in Space is equality for everyone. It's, you know, we embrace the Vulcan philosophy of the Edict, infinite diversity and infinite combinations. And so our events are always incredibly diverse. It's not just for LGBT fans. It's for everybody. And the actors who come, they're donating their time. You know, they're not getting paid to be there. They're there because they believe in what we're doing and what we're talking about. They'll get on stage and they'll talk. We have performances. We have live music. Tonight we have a stand-up comedy from an actor named Steven Guarino, who's been on Happy Endings. He was in the Bear City movies. He's on the new Showtime series, I'm Dying Up Here. So he's coming out. We give away massive amounts of stuff. We have working prop replicas of tricorders and phasers with lights and sounds. And it's a lot goes on at a Gaze in Space event.
And one of the things I love, too, is the fact that I feel like people feel like they can ask questions at our events that maybe they wouldn't want to say in front of 5,000 people in an auditorium, you know?
Yeah.
So the questions that people ask are a lot more personal and a lot more, like, close to them rather than just, what was it like working on the show, you know?
Right.
So we've gotten some really good questions from people in the audience where I feel like they might not have felt super comfortable saying
right.
in front of a million people. So
right.
that's another factor that I think is really cute, and it's just adorable. They're so,
yeah.
so great, yeah.
And how did you all get into Star Trek in the first place?
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
You're born into it, aren't you? I didn't know there was a choice.
Yeah.
That's not a choice.
No choice. It's in
Being
our
a
DNA.
Star Trek fan is not a choice.
Well, for me, I grew up a latchkey kid in the 80s without a whole lot of real role models to look up to and to emulate in my family. And I stumbled upon Star Trek. I just happened to, it was on TV, I watched an episode, and it was the episode Mirror Mirror, which is arguably one of the best of the original series. And from that point on, I was hooked because these characters were the embodiment of everything that I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to be the honorable man who always made the right choice, even when it was the hard choice. I wanted to live in this world where race, color, all of these different things that in my daily life I felt divided by and separated by, and in this world it didn't exist anymore. So once I knew that that was there, I was hooked.
Yeah. You were just born into it? Or?
I was just born into it. No, I mean, I remember, like, I was watching Next Generation when it was, live on TV, and I would, like, watch it with my family and loved it or whatever. And I grew up in the 80s, too, when, like, the whole space thing was still really big and going on, and, like, they were shooting shuttles off all the time, and it was just, like, a great time. And so those things sort of went together. And so then I just followed it out from there. Like, I ended up working for NASA because I was such a, like, space nerd with all of it. And I went to space camp, like, the whole thing. The whole nine yards.
Wait, was a space nerd?
Yeah, now I'm just not really a nerd at all. Now I'm
now
super
he's
cool.
Just cool.
What position did you hold in NASA?
I was a software developer and systems administrator.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So the base that I worked at is the one where they actually tested the main rocket engines. So I got to see that go off. Like, once a week, the, like, rockets would test and, like, this smoke and whatever. So it was, like, such a geek out time for me as well. So, yeah. It was a lot of fun.
The earrings that Nana is wearing,
oh, yeah.
I actually have seen those online before, and I personally went and looked where I could buy those online.
Oh,
could you tell the listeners at home where they could purchase one of the earrings if they wanted to?
Absolutely. You can go to our main website, which is www.gazeinspace.org, which is gaze in space, but three A's in gaze, three A's in space.
Like, you're just so stoked about it.
Right. Yes.
Even when you're typing.
Exactly.
Even when you're typing,
exactly.
It's going to be so exciting.
Yes.
All right, Groovy, well, thank you guys so much.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Through all the excitement, I got to talk to a wide variety of fans, most of which were creative in their own right. The first runner-up in the costume contest at the convention for their fish-like aliens seen in The Manhunt on The Next Generation, which, by the way, was their first attempt at making latex masks by hand.
Have you come to any Star Trek conventions before?
Yes. Yeah. This is our, I think, sixth one.
Sixth one?
Yeah. We started going to the Nashville convention in 2011 and 2012, which I don't think they have anymore. But then we liked it so much we wanted to go to the bigger one. So we came to Vegas in 2013, and we've been coming ever since. So.
Okay. I'm trying to do the interview and look in your eyes, but I can't. Could you describe to the listeners at home what your outfit is?
Yeah, we are Antedian dignitaries from Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 2. The episode's called Manhunt. So it's a kind of a funny episode with Majel Barrett, and these aliens are, it's kind of funny because they're TOS-looking aliens in a TNG show, so it's kind of harkens back to the original series type of cheesy-looking aliens, which is why I kind of wanted to do it, so.
All right, and you made these outfits yourselves, or?
Yeah, I made the latex mask, and took a couple of months because you have to do the clay modeling stage and then set the plaster mold and then do the latex, and it's the first time I've done it, so.
Can you guess roughly around how many hours that might have taken?
100 hours.
Too many hours. I gotcha. All right.
I call them fish head aliens. I don't know. It kind of looks like a B-movie sci-fi silver columnar body of the costume, but then the latex mask is pretty much a fish head. Kind of silly with the gills and the fish lips, so... That's what's going on here.
The first runner-ups in the official costume contest of Star Trek Las Vegas. Being active in the creative community also was a running theme that I ran into a lot, as you can hear in my interview with Scott from The Roddenberrys.
Tell me a little bit about The Roddenberrys.
The Roddenberrys are a mix of really established, seasoned musicians. We've got people who have worked within the interfaith, intercultural community. We've got people who have been playing music at the United Nations. They've traveled the world. They've gone to Turkey. They've been to Israel. They have been to parts of what is now the disputed territory of Palestine. We've also got people who are, we have radical anti-fractivists who are within the group. We've got a agnostic rock listening to Buddhist vegetarian who sings for us. It's a diverse lineup. And we also all happen to be people who enjoy playing music, which reflects some of the ideals of Star Trek. But the reality is we're very much a tongue-in-cheek. We're a pastiche of comedy. It's as much a burlesque show in a rock and roll format as we can conveniently get away with without actually becoming a burlesque show, because the band leader Spocknik doesn't want that. Whereas I do. And that's why he's in charge now with Sister Spock and I'm not.
And tongue-in-cheek about what kind of subjects?
Oh, you know, it's not just Star Trek. Yeah. It's also Star Wars. It's Batman. It's Doctor Who. We do it all.
Yeah.
We do it all.
And if anybody wanted to listen to the Roddenberrys, where would they go?
Oh, my God. We are listenable on the web. You can go to Roddenberrys.com and listen to our album and videos. Or you can go to Bandcamp.com. And we're working on our second album. It'll probably be called TN Genius Within. Because all of our this year's set is almost exclusively TNG, as in 30 years of TNG.
And are you all playing here at the convention?
Last year, there was a smaller contingent, an away team of Roddenberrys who've come out, Sister Spock and Spocknik and myself, and some of our support people. We're here celebrating the music of Star Trek, and we recently crafted an entire Next Generation showcase to play here. Last year, we were on the Roddenberry Interactive Stage, sanctioned by Roddenberry Entertainment and the Roddenberry Foundation. Fantastic organizations. Support them, people. Largest scientific endowment of any private philanthropic endeavor last year was the Roddenberry Foundation. Gave $1 million to one clever idea to save the planet.
Oh.
Yeah, $1 million. We will be playing again at this convention. We expect to be here in 2018. How about that?
All right.
So get ready for that. And also, people, I should recommend people can go to Roddenberrys.com for all their Roddenberrys stuff.
And you were talking about a mockumentary you were making as well?
I'm doing it right now. I think this interview might become part of it. I should have really run the camera. Mockumentary. It's that's the polite word. Yes, we are taking a... We're kind of almost subversively here in that we are still fans. Long before we ever came here for the convention to play, we were already Star Trek fans, nerds, geeks, you know. So we always want to be here. And so I'm doing a piece. I'm asking people who've never heard of the Roddenberrys, who are Star Trek fans, what they think of the Roddenberrys. And yes, I will simply edit it together. I will spend hours, weeks to create something which I think is, in a deadpan, tongue-in-cheek manner, hilarious and funny. And I expect it to get at least 10 to 12 views on the web, and only half of them will be thumbs down. Hate is gonna hate. I will definitely be making something funny for people to listen to or see. It'll be on our .com. And check out our videos. Hilarious videos. We salute Christopher Lloyd and a whole bunch of other people who have not sued us.
Personally, from your point of view, how long have you been a fan and what got you started?
There was an old spread in an old Playboy magazine or Hustler.
Uh-huh.
Penthouse. And I remember vaguely associating that as some show I used to watch. Then I guess I was 12. And I actually was starting to pay attention. And then I was watching Star Trek, waiting for those scenes to come in.
Oh, my God.
I was waiting for those scenes to come in. And I'm not, I have other people who will corroborate this crazy porno spread in a porno mag that turned people on to, if not turn on the Trek, it's their memory of, wow, Trek was really weird. But actually, just old black and white televisions in the back of a trailer in South Jersey, I guess probably technically 12. I guess 12. 12 was really waking up to things, including Star Trek.
Star Trek, among other things.
I like monsters more than that. Before the sci-fi stuff, it was monsters. So Star Trek was like, oh, now there are people. Oh, you put people in costumes and they get to fight monsters. Kay Boo Portland, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. I expect we're all shared kin. You got to travel out of your own zone to find your family. Pleasure talking to you.
And I'm talking to Jared, the DJ for tonight and last night as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you going to be DJing the whole event?
I am not. No, this will be my last night here. So The first night was hosted by Klingons on stage, which was mesmerizing. But they are, you know, I don't, I know the Klingon mantra in general, so they were very much in character of being a bit brutish, if you will. Oh, yeah. Some chick came out way at the end, and she was a little inebriated, but she did "Welcome to the Jungle," and yeah, it was quite a show.
How do you think it's going to go tonight?
Actually, someone asked me too if I do any karaoke myself, and no, I stay behind the computer. I'm not much of the front man.
How many years have you DJed for the Star Trek convention?
Actually, this is my first year.
All right, how are you liking it?
I'm liking it fine. Yeah, I actually showed up pretty early today to go ahead and check out, you know, the kind of local scene and see what everybody's up to. And this is a pretty impressive production in general. I mean, there's so much everywhere. So it's been fun.
Are you a fan of the show at all?
A Trekkie, not in particular, but I'm not a Star Wars fan. Don't worry.
Okay. I gotcha. But you're at least having a good time here, right?
Absolutely.
Science Fiction Cabaret, the grooviest frontier. These are the musical voyages of our star band, the Roddenberrys. Our ongoing mission? To explore strange new parodies. To seek out new fans and new cabaret cultures. To boldly go where no star band has gone before.
Just a little taste of the Roddenberrys there. If you want to hear more, you can check them out at theroddenberrys.com. And if you want to find out more about the Gays in Space organization and how you can get involved, you can check them out at Gays in Space.
Remember, you have to be excited while you're typing it or it won't work.
Three A's. Three A's. Man, that was a lot of fun. Sarah, I'm interested to hear what one of your highlights was about Star Trek Las Vegas.
Oh, so the best moment for me of the whole con. They were filming confessionals for the Deep Space Nine documentary that's going to come out next year. So I went to go film one. I was late. I hopped in the back of the line. I barely got in. Went up there and I started talking about how, you know, the show means so much to me because I was watching it when I was, you know, 12, 13, 14, you know, in my formative years. And I was seeing characters like Jadzia Dax, who didn't let gender roles stop her from doing mm-hmm. anything she wanted to do. Get off, go over to where my friends are sitting. And they're like, Sarah, did you see who's sitting in the front row? And it's Jadzia Dax.
What?
What?
So I went back up there and I did the I'm not worthy bow and she just smiled and shook my hand. She was so sweet. I couldn't stop shaking for 15 minutes afterwards.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I wouldn't be able to speak. I'd be like, I love you, Jadzia. And I would just run off. That's so cool.
Oh, that is so cool.
But there were so many great moments. Like, I came home and I was so exhausted. I think I slept for a week. It was just go, go, go the whole week.
Wow.
So it was pretty amazing.
Godiva, being your first Star Trek convention, it was actually a pretty significant one, you know, 30 years of TNG.
Yeah, there were a lot of people there. There were a lot of, I think the highlights, honestly, because I was under the assumption that all of the cast and the crew would just be lounging in a secret room somewhere when they're not at their table signing autographs and they'd just be like sipping champagne and like, you know, away from the peons and like, no, they're out there. They're mm-hmm. bumping into you in the hallway and like they're talking. And having a conversation, and like that was my favorite part because it's horrible to say they are humans, but you don't like register that because like they are the carriers of these amazing stories.
Yeah.
You know, the writers create like these magnificent backdrops and then like the actors carry them out so wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, but yeah, it's humbling. Like, I've got a lot of stories about Robert Picardo just like surprised me, and like he played the EMH on Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
I was just buying stuff from a vendor and he comes up behind me. I feel a tap on one shoulder. I turn over, twirl around. He's like coming on the other side of me, whispering in my ear like, I just poked you, and just like wanders off. And I'm like, what just happened? Or like Carl Urban bought me a drink at the bar. Like,
what?
Yeah, he was like waiting in line behind me. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, let me buy you a drink. And he's like, why would you buy me a drink? And I'm like, well, because I appreciate your work. You're a great person. And he's like, oh, sweetheart, I'm buying you a drink. Come on. And he like bought me around and he was like, have a good night, sweetheart. And like walked off. And aww. I was like, oh, I'm now a really big Carl Urban fan. But there's like, yeah, crazy amount of stories. And also, I got to talk to Chase Masterson, too. I want to give her a shout out.
Yeah.
If I can.
She's great. Her charity is fantastic.
She funded it herself for the first 2 years. They're on their third year now. It's the Pop Culture Hero Coalition.
What do they do?
They sponsor anti-bullying courses to schools that can't, like, afford anti-bullying. And they cover, like, the whole topic for LGBTQ, ethnicity, disability, any discrimination whatsoever. So, but yeah, she was inspired by Deep Space Nine, by those stories that they were acting out, because she saw how much it was affecting the viewers, like, those hopeful stories. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, she was a powerhouse that whole time, the whole convention. She was singing every night at Quark's Bar. Oh my god, her voice is so beautiful. She is so beautiful. But yeah, she was a trooper the whole time. The fact that she even was able to set aside 5 minutes just to talk to me was astounding.
That's really awesome. And what's the charity website?
Popculturehero.com. So especially if you're in the education industry, you can check those out, and she they will get back to you as soon as they can. They've got contact information on their site. Popculturehero.com.
I actually contacted them for an event I did back in January where we were going to have kids there, and I really wanted to do something about bullying. So I just wrote to them on Facebook, and they wrote back, gave me a little script we could use with the kids and talk about bullying in terms of superheroes.
Wow.
And what can you do if you see someone getting bullied? And we had them all like write messages they would tell to people who have been bullied, and we put them all up on the wall. They're still on the wall at Red Castle Games.
Oh, that's really
cool.
They
care a lot.
Yeah.
And then you have an organization as well, right? The Snowcap Community Charities?
Yes. So I do fundraisers for Snowcap Community Charities under the name Nerd Camp, and we have one coming up this Saturday night at Red Castle Games. It's called Nerd Camp Night Out Amazons Unite. It's for ladies only. It's free admission. We have a comedy show with 11 female comedians. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about this. We're going to have speed friending. We're going to have free pizza. We're going to have free door prizes. We're going to have tabletop gaming, discussion groups. Totally free. I just ask that you bring some pads or tampons for women in need.
Wow, that's awesome. And it's for ladies or also non-binary as well. So female identified or...
Yes, absolutely. If you think this event is for you, then it's for you. You are welcome.
Awesome. That's very cool. And how did you get involved with Snowcap?
So I've been volunteering with Snowcap since I was a kid. My dad was involved. He was on the board of directors for a while. And so now as an adult, I'm on the board of directors, second generation.
Yeah.
Snowcap is a fantastic organization. They're located out near 181st and Stark. They feed about 8,000 people a month.
Oh my God.
They serve all of Multnomah County east of 82nd, including Gresham, Fairview, Troutdale, and Wood Village. They offer other services such as a clothes closet, back to school supplies. They have community garden, ESL classes, and they offer other things when they can get them, like feminine hygiene products. Because a lot of people aren't aware, they're expensive. A year's supply runs about $70, and it's not covered by food assistance or any other assistance. So you're just on your own. So that's a lot of money when you're struggling just to keep a roof over your head or put food on the table. And,
right.
You know, you add in a couple of daughters, and it really adds up.
Yeah.
So we're going to step up, and we're going to collect some pads and tampons for them.
That's great.
And try and help people out who already have enough to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. And so the information about Nerd Camp, you just go to Facebook.com and search Nerd
Search
Camp.
Nerd Camp Night Out, Amazons Unite.
Very cool. And information about Snowcap. Do they have a website as well?
Yes. Snowcap Community Charities is on Facebook. They're also at snowcap.org. They're a really great organization to donate to because they can really stretch your money. Every $5 they raise, they can turn into 100 pounds of food for people who really, really need it.
Wow. That's really cool.
And there were going to be comedians there, too?
Yes. So the show is going to be hosted by Carolyn Main. Headliner is Wendy Weiss. And we have 9 other comedians in the show. It's going to be an hour and a half show for free, you guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Are going to have, it's 21 and over. We are going to have beer, wine, and cider for sale. But the food is free.
Awesome. Who doesn't like free pizza?
By Old Chicago, who has really good pizza. So I want to thank Old Chicago. Thank Red Castle Games for hosting. Thank all the comedians for volunteering their time and skills.
Yeah.
We have some great prizes. I'm so excited. We have some Xena Warrior Princess action figures to give away and adult coloring books. Including...
Yes, I saw the Serenity adult coloring book, and I'm like, how many times can I put my name in? Can I just buy it right now?
Yeah, and we have a Batgirl coloring book that was donated and autographed by DC artist Matthew Clark.
Wow.
Yeah, all kinds of good stuff.
Very cool. And Red Castle's on 64th
and Foster.
Okay.
Yeah, great store. Visit them anytime. They're fantastic.
Very cool. So many fun things happening in the Rose City. Anniversaries, like the 1 year anniversary of a Radio Geekly.
Woo! Happy birthday!
Happy birthday to us. Oh my gosh. So I just want to take just a few minutes before we wrap up the show to get people's thoughts on 1 year of being a part of this collective. We have come a long way, I feel, from this past year. So I just want to take just a couple minutes for us to kind of chat about highlights that we enjoy, things that we are hoping that we can talk about in the future. I know, David, you have always mentioned having some sort of pop culture cult movie fandom discussion in terms of like cult followings.
It's a lot of bad movies we should be watching now.
Exactly, yes. And we need to talk about that. So that could be a future episode.
Well, it's like how have you guys watched the new Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix?
Yes, I've only seen a episode.
I'm digging it. I'm getting through it right now, and I'm digging it. And it's just like, oh yeah, there is an endless supply of terrible movies to make commentary about. Like, it doesn't just have to be limited to Mystery Science Theater 3000. Like, we could very much do this.
We could do it ourselves. Maybe that could be an episode of just recording of us watching these terrible movies and just commentate on that.
There'd be so much. Ah, oh!
Yeah. Where's the popcorn? Let's throw it at the screen. I just want to say I've just appreciated the fact that we can make the connection of issues that are in our society and especially within our local community and bring it about through the lenses of geek culture, because it's also an issue within geek culture. And I feel like we have addressed a lot of those in a perspective that's been more open and honest, and knowing that, hey, we're geeks, we like things just as much as anyone else, but we can bring about those hot topic issues and discuss them in a very open and truthful manner. So I think that's been an awesome platform for us to have here.
I also just want to say thank you to Jesse for in this 1 year anniversary. Like, you have been the one who brought the collective together, and I've just been such a force behind this, you know, and it was like your vision. And it's just, you know, when you first approached me of like, we're gonna have a geek show, I was like, okay, what are we just, how are we just gonna talk about what, like,
then I said comics? Futurama, Jenna.
And then I was Futurama. Like, oh my god, I'm there. But you know, just the depth, yeah, like what you're talking about, the depth of the discussion, because I feel like so much of what the non-geek world looks in on, like, nerd culture and geek culture and just sees, like, oh, you guys are into comic books and cartoons and stupid space stuff. But I feel like the geek community is so much deeper, and like that's the the reason they like Star Trek and stuff like that is because it's a show that's constantly talking about our issues, like, mm-hmm. what you're talking about, like, where it is a way for us to explore our actual world. It's not about escapism, it's about confronting these things. And so many of the issues that have been talked about on Radio Geekly, you know, we see them happening more discussions at cons and stuff like that, where,
oh, yeah.
it's like, this is a really diverse community that like really wants to talk about these things because they're in our shows.
Yeah,
they're in the comic books we read. Like, we're just continuing that discussion.
Exactly. So,
well, if we want the future to be like Star Trek instead of like Mad Max, we gotta think about some stuff and make ourselves better too, and mm-hmm. keep working on everything.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. We're gonna replicate all those whales.
Goes hand in hand. Yeah, yeah. Let's replicate them whales.
Because I want to swim, man.
Tell
I
you again, the whales come back from the past, if you remember, and then they replicate themselves. So
an
invasive species at that point. Yeah.
Biological replication.
Yeah, I just think it's so great that Radio Geekly can really just like represent so many different things. I mean, like, when I remember when you first approached the topic, I was just like, how many different episodes can you have? Mm-hmm. And then it was just like this
a
endless
lot.
Barrage of just discussion, and discussion never stops. And just because this geek culture is growing,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, oh yeah, there's an endless amount of ways to explore all these topics,
yeah.
and that geeks care, like we're talking about, like with charities and like with giving back and like using geekdom for good.
Right. Yeah. I like that. That should be on a shirt. Geekdom for good.
Well, that was, like I was saying in those pre-recorded interviews, that was a huge theme for the Star Trek convention. And I honestly got to say, I was having a great time interacting with the people involved in the show. But also, I think my favorite part of the convention was just like talking to the other fans, because there were so many people involved in like charities and like other radio shows and podcasts and like the Roddenberrys and Gays in Space. And like, it wasn't like anybody was like pretentious about it either, of like, I'm coming on radio show. You know, like they were all just like, let's sit by the pool and let's talk about like how we can be better people. Let's talk about politics. Let's talk about like being nice to each other. And it was, I don't know, I think that was just as overwhelming for me, of like everybody was so nice.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been back a second year just for celebrities. I was back a second year to see my friends.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's why I'm going back next year. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what cons are all about. Like, at first you go, and then you start to, you know, once you go to enough cons, you see all the different celebrities,
right?
You know, and then, but then you just start recognizing people, you start recognizing other artists, and mm-hmm. it's just like, it's all about meeting up with people. And you know, whatever con you go to, you're going to see people that like are your community, and
yeah.
like, and the fact that you can cosplay and not be looked at like you're weird, that they're your people, you know, uh-huh. it's so great.
Yeah. David, you were going to say something? No.
No.
Okay. What were your thoughts, though, on Radio Geekly? We had Futurama-losophy. Is that going to come back in this second year of Radio Geekly?
I am a lazy person, apparently. Well, I need to work on some stuff. One of the things about geek culture that maybe I fall into too much is the hypercritical part of things. It's fun to hate things, and I don't know why. Like, I feel like I'm entitled to, I'm a fan of this, they did it just a little bit wrong, how dare they. But there's a lot of entertainment to get out of that, and that's part of, you know, I know Radio Geekly probably wants to not be angry.
Hey,
we keep
can,
on the
hey,
good stuff.
We can bash on cult movies.
Okay.
Yeah. B-movies, that's totally fine. Sharknado 4? No. They're just absolutely no.
So there's a lot of bad we can
there
go.
Is a lot of
all right,
bad.
That's our future.
But
then.
It's going to be a collective
maybe
bad.
Maybe one. I want that. Because there's a lot of bad I think that could be done better.
Well, I think it's we're just representing what is a part of geek culture, which is to not just accept what we see and just take it in. You know, it's
right.
about the analysis. It's about geeking out. And, like, that mm-hmm. includes being critical while also recognizing, like, what's good. And, you know, I think if... You know, people weren't, if the Star Trek fans weren't critical of Star Trek while it was happening, like, Star Trek wouldn't have continued to grow. Like, every series you saw, like, tried to confront more issues and grow and try to present Roddenberry's, like, vision some more, you know? And I mm-hmm. think that has to do with the fans holding them accountable and demanding more and wanting more.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
like, loving that Roddenberry dream, be like, hey, can we actually make that a reality a little bit more? Hey, it's 2017, let's do it. And so,
right.
you know, we're just... We're holding them accountable.
We're keeping it real.
We're loving.
Yes.
Like, love is complicated. It comes with good and bad.
It is good and bad. Yeah. So I just want to say thanks to all of you for making this dream a reality for me, because I've just been talking with all my geek friends and like, how can I, there has to be more geeks out there, and there are, and you guys are all amazing, and I'm just really thankful that we've all come together to talk about these topics and continue on in the next few years to come. And we're streaming online, we're going to be in our city doing other crazy cool events, and so next month we are going to be focusing on a lot of local events and local organizations here in the Rose City. So that's going to be really cool to talk about, things like OMSI and artists and vendors and build like places that you can go to here in Portland that are geek related that people might not know about. So that's going to be really fun for October as we're winding down and getting the end of summer out of the way, beginning of fall, and our binge
Yay!
TV watching.
It's almost Halloween!
Oh my gosh! So yes, thank you. Thanks to everyone. It's been a blast, and I hope that more of our geeks are... For the rest of the collective, I'm also talking to you. Thank you to everybody that's been a part of it in any way, shape, or form here on Radio Geekly. So geeks can unite and do awesome things. So let's take the few moments. We just have a few more minutes here to talk about upcoming events. Nerd Camp Night Out, hosted by Sarah. Amazon's Unite is starting tomorrow. 6 p.m. it starts, Sarah?
Doors at 6. Comedy show starts at 6:30.
Perfect. Bring your feminine hygiene products. It's at Red Castle Games. Information can be found on Facebook. If you type in the search Nerd Camp Night Out, you will find all the great information for that. September 8th through the 10th, Rose City Comic Con is coming to the Oregon Convention Center.
Yay!
There's going to be so many celebrities there. Hopefully, lots of, what was it? What was Jack and I talking about? the cinnamon almonds that were just permeating throughout the convention center at Wizard World.
Oh, and Q and Data from Star Trek will be there.
Oh.
Brent Spiner?
Yep.
What? Mm-hmm. What?
Is he going to be singing?
We'll find out.
At the con, he was singing regardless if he was on stage or not. Oh, so he's probably going to be singing in some aspect. Yeah.
It's not a new thing for him to be singing.
No, not at all.
So that's... or information for Comic-Con can be found at rosecitycomiccon.com. September 16th through the 17th at OMSI is the Mini Maker Fair, the Portland Mini Maker Fair. And Game Lab is going to be having a playtest and demo area at the Mini Maker Fair over the weekend. If you have any tabletop gaming or prototypes that you would like to display at the fair, you can contact Game Lab people at gamelaboregon.com. Information about Mini Maker Fair is at portland.makerfair.com, or also information on the OMSI website. This is a really cool locals spotlight for folks to check out. That's September 16th and 17th. On September 23rd at the Keller Auditorium, The Legend of Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses will be performing. If you enjoy Legend of Zelda and the musical themes behind it.
That was beautiful.
Yes. Jenna will be serenading us for the rest of the show.
Yeah, you don't even need to go watch the symphony. I'll just sit here and sing all
An interesting thing about the power of Zelda, the Nintendo Switch, mm-hmm. It came out, more people bought the new Zelda game, Breath of the Wild, than they bought the Switch itself. So more people had the game
than the actual than who
could
console.
Play. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I imagine it's changed them.
Awesomely hilarious.
Yeah, it's just pretty amazing. The Nintendo Switch Zelda is popular because of Zelda.
Wow.
It really made a difference.
Wow. So tickets and information can be found at portland5.com/keller-autorium. That's Portland with the number 5.com/keller-auditorium. Blah, blah, blah. The Portland Creative Conference is going to be held on September 29th at the Girding Theater at the Armory. Information about that is at createcon.com, which is C-R-E, the number 8, con.com. Also another locals spotlight creative conference at the Girding Theater. And finally, from September 29th through October 1st at Reed College is the Portland Juggling Festival. There are jugglers out here in the Rose City, and they put on an annual festival at Reed College. If you are interested in finding out more about juggling culture, or if you are an aspiring jugglist, you can attend this event. Find out information at portlandjugglers.org.
Mad respect for jugglers, man. I don't get it. I just end up hitting myself.
With two items, that's the challenge.
Oh, wow. You're good, too. I can do one.
Two items.
Basically, I just toss a ball up and down.
There you go.
I still struggle with that, too.
Wads of tissue. So if it hits me in the face, it's not that bad. Well, oh, man.
I got one more.
Yes.
September 23rd is Museum Day.
Okay.
So free museum, a lot of participating areas in the country. Just Google it. You can find which museums are participating. But hey, you're free that Saturday. You want to go to a museum? There's a lot of ones that you can visit.
Very cool. Very cool.
And I've got one more that's just a little bit further abroad, but September 29th to October 1st is Geek Girl Con in Seattle.
Oh.
Which, if you haven't been, I highly recommend.
Yeah. Our collective member, Rob, actually attended this past year's one, and he had a really good time just seeing the expanse and the openness to geek girls everywhere.
Yes.
So that's been really cool.
I will be there. I will be on a panel about Xena Warrior Princess, and I will be teaching the entire room to do the Xena battle cry.
What?
Yes.
Mind blown.
And it's pronounced Sarah Goldie, right?
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes,
I really appreciate
you.
It.
Yeah. It's been awesome. Thanks to Jenna and Godiva and David for talking Trek with me today.
Yay.
I hope you all have a fabulous weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. There's going to be a lot of traffic on the road, so stay safe and stay tuned here to your community radio station, KBOO Portland. At noon is moving on, and we'll catch you all next month. Take care.